Good morning. Just wanted to make kind of an additional announcement to the Liberia trip and thank Robin for not going down too many Liberia trails there. Actually, in the deacons meeting last Sunday, we discussed taking up an offering today as well for them. So at the end of the service, we are going to have a couple of ushers outside the door. If you wanted to send along some additional funds to help bless the Liberians, then please find a dish and put it in there, and I'll be sure that they get most of it. Other thing I wanted to mention was, I didn't bring my bulletin up with me, but in the bulletin, under children's things, it does say, I think I can paraphrase, okay. It does say during the sermon that children can either go into a classroom or they can stay in here. And we wanted to just emphasize that that's up to you. And we appreciate it both ways. I love having the children in here to hear the message and experience God's word preached. But we have wonderful, biblical, godly, loving children teachers out there as well. So just to make it clear, don't feel like, oh, I should have went there or I should have stayed. It's the parents' decision, and we do encourage both of those things. So open your Bibles, and we'll get started. Open them to Matthew chapter 10. We'll be in verses 16 through 25. Matthew chapter 10, verses 16 to 25. And I do encourage you to follow along. Raise your hand here if you've ever gone to a beach with your family and swam in the water and no one else was around and you had a really great time, but when you were leaving, you found a sign that had fallen over and it said, beach closed due to E. coli. Raise your hand if that's ever happened to you. Oh, it has happened to you too. We have another one here. All right. If you weren't here last week, that was the story that Pastor Dave told you to get our attention. And I've listened to hundreds now of Pastor Dave's sermons over the last 20 years, and I just really found that to be hilarious. And I still laugh about it when I think about it. But really, more than the humor is that the story was an extremely effective way to draw attention to the reality of warnings. And our God is good. God gives us warnings. Over and over and over again in Scripture, we find warnings. Some of the first words ever spoken to man were a warning. In Genesis 2, 15 through 17, God says, "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, 'You may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die.'" Scripture also ends in a warning. Revelation 22, 18 through 21, the last three verses of the Bible. "I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. He who testifies to these things says, 'Surely I am coming soon. Amen.' Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all. Amen." Warning: don't do this or that, because most certainly you will suffer the consequences. This is a warning to avoid someone or something or some action. Avoid it. Don't do it. Scripture has another type of warning in it, and perhaps it should be just called a word of caution. This warning is in preparation of action to grant us wisdom and hope. This is to prepare us when we go into action, and this caution gives us hope and wisdom. This caution that provides instruction and encouragement as we learn of upcoming danger that lays before us. Jesus teaches of danger that is going to be there in our walk. The last time we were in Matthew, we went through verses 1 through 15 in this chapter, and we saw that Jesus calls his people, and he equips his people, and he sends his people. He sends them out to proclaim the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Imagine how exciting that must have been for them. The 12 disciples being called to bring the good news to the lost people of Israel. But here comes the warning. As we read in our passage, the caution in Matthew 10, verse 16. Behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and as innocent as doves. Beware of men, for they will deliver you over to courts and flog you in their synagogues. And you will be dragged before governors and kings for my sake to bear witness before them and the Gentiles. When they deliver you over, do not be anxious how you are to speak or what you are to say. For what you are to say will be given to you in that hour. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will deliver brother over to death, and father his child, and children will rise against parents and have them put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in one town, flee to the next. For truly I say to you, you will have not gone through all the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the disciple to be like his teacher, and the servant to be like his master. If they have called the master of the house of Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household? Let's pray together. Father, we come before your word, and I pray that our hearts are humbled, Father, that we just come knowing that your word is truth, that your word is authority, and that your word always stands, Lord. And so I pray that through this message, we will heed the caution of Jesus, but we will see the encouragement within it. And Lord, I pray as we leave this building then today that you would have this written in our hearts forever, that we may count on you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. First, when I started looking at this passage, there is a discussion regarding the timing of this caution. The timing of this caution. Meaning, was this warning only for the 12 that are included here? And that's an easy answer, which is absolutely not. It's easy because the parallel passage in Luke sends out the 12 in chapter 9, verse 1. However, in chapter 10, verse 1, Jesus sends out the 72 two by two. So Luke 10, 1 through 3 says, after this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to go. And he said to them, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. Go your way. Behold, I am sending you out as lambs into the midst of wolves. So another aspect of the timing, besides that there's 72, is that we notice, based on where they go and witness, gives us timing of this as well. Look up at verse 5. In verse 5, he says, go nowhere among the Gentiles, only to the household of Israel. So they were not to witness to Gentiles. The 12 were to go and stay with the Jews, except the Samaritans. In our passage today, verse 18 speaks of governors and kings and Gentiles. So I'm taking time to go through this because we need to know. We need to know this passage is for us. And we know this to be true, not only because of the different timings that are here, but the reality that the entire New Testament speaks of being persecuted for the name of Christ. Matthew 5, 10 through 12, in the Beatitudes, Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. We need to know this is for us. We need to be sure to read this sign of caution as we go out into the field of harvest. The reason is we need to know is that if we speak boldly with truth and grace and love, there is a real expectation that within the blessed opportunity we have to serve God and bring glory to the name of Jesus, within that service to Him exists a very real expectation to experience the blessing of persecution. Jesus calls 12 and equips 12 and sends 12. Jesus calls 72, He equips 72 and He sends 72. Jesus calls Country Bible Church, equips Country Bible Church, and sends Country Bible Church. Each and every one of us is sent to bring the good news of the gospel to the lost and dying world. This is our reality and this is our purpose. We are the kingdom at hand in the world today. We, the church, are the light and truth bearers of God in this dark world now. This caution is 2,000 years old, but the truth and principles that Jesus teaches here belong to us. So what can we learn? The general truth is that in Christ, as we become more like Jesus, we will face persecution, but God is with us, and God is for us, and there is hope. In Christ, as we become more and more like Jesus, as we love more like Jesus and we act more like Jesus and Jesus is flowing from us, we will face persecution, but God is with us and God will defend us and God will give us the hope of salvation at the end. This truth is what we see in this portion of Scripture of Matthew. Today, 16 through 25 is the warning we're going to look at. Then in 26 through 33, we are told by Jesus to have no fear during this time. Then next is 34 through 39, Jesus sets out to correct our thinking on why he came to this earth. And finally then in verses 40 through 42 is the reward that is coming. So there is much here in particularly this passage as well, so let's get started. First thing we're going to look at is verse 16. That's the first thing we're going to do. We look at verse 16 and we're going to see that Jesus gives the warning and the instruction. And then number two, we're going to look at the wolves. The wolves, they're everywhere. We're going to look at who they are and what they're doing. And then finally, number three is in each set of the wolves, we're going to look at what the main character is doing, the main character being God. What is God doing in the midst of what the wolves are doing? So verse 16, look at verse 16. Jesus sends them. Remember, they are going out. He is sending them out with all of the authority of God. All of the authority and power of God, they are being sent. Jesus is sending them. God, listen to this, God is giving them an opportunity to proclaim the kingdom of God being near. And the warning, or the informational caution, verse 16, you will be as sheep in the midst of wolves. I'm sending you out as sheep into the wolf pack. Sheep are prey for wolves. These wolves will have an intense desire to devour you. They will persecute you. We're going to look at what they are going to do. But just a note on Bible study and when you're studying a Bible passage. When you're in a passage, highlight the common words. that are repeated and see what they are. In this passage, you will see will, W-I-L-L. Let's look at that just quickly. Just the negative wills, not the positive one. Verse 17, beware of men, for they will deliver you over. Verse 18, and you will be dragged. Verse 19, when they deliver you over, not if, so this is a will, they will deliver you over. Verse 22, and you will be hated. Verse 25, the end of our passage, much more will they malign. I think I skipped 21. Brother will deliver brother. And a little further in 21, children will rise against parents. Wolves have no self-control. They will devour and destroy sheep. So Jesus gives us instruction to us sheep in verse 16 as he sends us out into their midst. Be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Wise as serpents. Shrewd. Remember the serpent in the garden? He was shrewd. But this is shrewd, not in the sense of deception or cunning. This is shrewdness in the sense of righteous wisdom. Truth lived in, truth spoken about in a way that is enveloped in righteousness. And of course, then, we must not be self-righteous about this, right? We must be humble, righteousness as innocent as doves. A dove is gentle, and a dove does not have any deviousness to it. I hope that's a word. Jesus does not send out dumb, chest-pounding, holier-than-thou servants. He equips them to be poor in spirit, mourners of sin, meek, merciful, pure in heart, and they are lovers of God, and they are lovers of neighbors, and they are knowers and doers of His Word. We must be mindful of these things, brothers and sisters. That is what Jesus is telling us. If we are in the world in the midst of wolves who could destroy us and want to destroy us, then be conscious of the danger that will come and then act accordingly with godly wisdom and with godly attributes which come from the heart. Okay, let's look at the wolves. Who are they and what will they do? Verse 17. He says, beware of men. Men are wolves, right, ladies? They're not mentioned there. Actually, wolves are men and women. But in this case, the rest of verse 17 is going to describe them for us. What they are doing helps. What they are doing helps. Look at it. They are to deliver us over to courts and synagogues. So these would be Jews. These are the Jews that are wolves. Verse 18 tells us a little more. Governors and kings and Gentiles are mentioned. This is the rest of the world. So you have the Jewish nation and the rest of the world. So what are the wolves doing? They're persecuting the sheep. They are making them face charges and they are flogging them and they are dragging them before governors and kings to bear witness. It's really not a pretty sight. Let's look at God, though. What is He doing in this? Has He taken a step back and said, well, go now, you're in with the wolves, they're going to grab you, they're going to flog you, they're going to drag you into court, and just hanging out, leaving the sheep to be alone? No, never. God comforts us as He reminds us that He will never leave, He will never forsake His called people. We need to read this. Look at verse 19. When they deliver you over, do not be anxious how you are to speak or what you are to say. For what you are to say will be given to you in that hour. For it is not you who speaks, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. in the midst of the howling and the lying and the snarling and threatening and intimidating situation, God declares to you and me, don't be anxious. I am with you. I will be your God. It is my Spirit, God's Holy Spirit, now in us as covenant people, His Spirit, which will speak through us. Wise as spirits and innocent as doves in the midst of evil. God gives us opportunity. Listen to that. God gives us opportunity to glorify Him in front of governors and kings. When it comes to persecution, we have it pretty easy here in this country. And I thank and praise God for that. But there are times, and we know this, there are times we need to trust that God will use the combination of His Word and His Holy Spirit in us to speak the truth in love in tough circumstances. Rest in that truth, brothers and sisters. If you're laying there at night and you know there's a tough circumstance coming up tomorrow, know that God will be there tomorrow with you. Humble yourself before Him. Rest in that truth, brothers and sisters, now and the future when this country will be different. The next group of wolves in our very own families. Let's look at it at the same time. See what's happening with these wolves. What are they doing? This next group of wolves is our very own families. 21. Brother will deliver brother over to death, and father his child, and children will rise against parents and have them put to death. Brother against brother, father against child, children will rise against their parents and have them put to death. Can you imagine this happening? I want you to look down to verse 34 as Jesus Himself helps us think in the proper way about why He came. Matthew 10, 34 through 37, Jesus says, "Do not think I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a person's enemies will be those of his own household. Whoever loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy than me." This passage needs a lot of explanation to it. And we will do that, Lord willing, in a few times. But we know this. We know this. We know that family can include wolves. Some of the persecution we already get are from within family members. The next group of wolves is verse 22. All. Hated by all. This simply means there are wolves everywhere in mass. They all hate us. Every race, color, and creed, and religion, they all hate us. But we can see God in all this again. And the verse 22 provides us with hope. "And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but the one who endures to the end will be saved." The one who endures to the end will be saved. This is what we look forward to, brothers and sisters, final salvation. If our commitment to Christ is so firm that the ultimate sacrifice is a potential, think about that. If our commitment to Jesus and following Him and speaking truth and love in the name of Jesus is in the world, the ultimate sacrifice is a potential. He's warning us of that. But we press on to the end. We press on to the end, always knowing that we will be with Christ and like Him and with our Heavenly Father forever. We endure. We endure. We are glorified and forever with him. In verse 23, Jesus gives us a sense of urgency to all of this. He says, when they persecute you in one town, flee to the next. For truly I say to you, you will not have gone through all the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. From what I understand, this is one of the hardest verses in Scripture to figure out. I read 7 different ways, one way or another, this could be viewed. A few are, before the Son of Man comes to meet with you again, simply means he's sending out the 12 or the 72, and he's going to catch up with them later, but to get as many, many places as he can. Another one is, because this passage speaks of towns, it only speaks of towns of Israel, it is limited to his resurrection. So I will see you again when I raise from the dead, and by that time, maybe you have gone through all of them, but you won't be able to. The third one that I picked to share with you is the Son of Man comes is speaking of the second coming. So I would fall there because I believe this passage is for everybody. But there's more. But to be sure, okay? To be sure, what this verse means is that Jesus places a sense of urgency within this, right? Get to them. Announce the good news of the kingdom of heaven. Time is short. We need to be following Jesus. Let's look at 24 and 25, and then we'll be done. 24, a disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the disciple to be like his teacher and the servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, I always say Beelzebub. I think that was because of that one comedian. Anyway, Beelzebub. How much more will they malign those of this household? Our goal is not to be above our teacher or our master. We could never have achieved that anyhow. It is enough to be like them. It is enough to be like Jesus. We are becoming more and more and more like Jesus. What's that called? Sanctification. We are becoming more and more like Jesus. More and more like Jesus. From one degree of glory to another, we are becoming more and more like Jesus. So what does this have to do with this passage? Two things which are similar. First, in verse 25, if they have called Jesus Beelzebul, master of the house of evil, what this is evil calling good evil while putting itself forward as good. This is evil calling good evil while making itself out to be good. It's flipping the truth upside down. Jesus is good, and they call him evil. That is a lie straight from the pit of hell. And if they have done that to Jesus, then how much more will they do that to his faithful followers? Jesus caps the word of caution off with this. Another word of caution is what he's saying. If you walk like me and you act like me and you become more and more like me and you serve the world and you serve out of love and you are like me, you can count on persecution. They persecuted me, they will persecute you. The second thing is similar. It is enough to be like him. Look back at our passage, verse 18. You will be dragged before governors and kings. Why? For my sake, to bear witness before them and the Gentiles. Verse 22, and you will be hated by all. Why? For for my name's sake. None of this is about us ever. It is all about Jesus. Jesus is God. Jesus has come, and the darkness has rejected the light. If darkness rejects Jesus, then darkness will certainly reject us if we are becoming more and more like Jesus. I would say if you and I and we become more like our master, then persecution is certain. Brothers and sisters, let's make sure we're together in this. We need each other to endure to the end as we continually point each other to the promises and love of God. Before I finish, I want to say something to you children. It happened. They all looked up. And youth. Find the truth in this and live in it now. Find the truth and live in this reality. No matter what you are going through, look to God. Look to Jesus. He will be with you. You will notice that your anxiousness starts to subside when you talk to God about it and that you trust in Him. Start learning that now. Start learning that now. Look to Jesus for your peace. He loves you and He will control and He will be part of your life and get you through it. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this passage. You have given us truth all over the New Testament about persecution and trials and temptations and the good that they are, actually, the blessing that they are. So Father, help us to heed Jesus' words about being wise as serpents and gentle as doves and being people. All that basically is meaning is being like Jesus. The Beatitudes, the true humility of heart, walking and following Jesus in truth and love and grace, yet always truth too. Help us be those people, Father. In any situation we come into, may we be people that are loving and grace-filled and truth-bearers, Father. Maybe we pray for those who persecute us. Father, may we bring the kingdom of God truth to those who persecute us, Father. And whatever happens, we trust that you will do it. And we have nothing to worry about other than the reality that in the end, we will be with you. So help us walk that way, Father. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Let's stand and